Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, and the Reverend Doug Gribbenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's one thing that Scripture makes absolutely clear to us, is that Jesus is no mere man. It's a bit of an understatement. He is true God, and he is truly perfect man. And we see that in this pericope today. For no one rises from the dead except the Lord of life. Now, immediately before this encounter with Mary outside the tomb, if we go back to the beginning of chapter 20, we again have Mary at the tomb, sneaking out before the sun has even peeked over the horizon, when it is yet still dark. She comes to the tomb to care for the body of her Lord. But she sees the stone is rolled away. She doesn't peek in. She just assumes the worst. They've taken the body. So she runs. She runs and finds Peter and John. And they run as well. Unless we forget, John outrun Peter, right? But they arrive at the tomb. Mary with them. But they peek inside. They peek inside. They see then the linen cloths. Not where they should be, but neatly folded aside. John even notes that he looks in and he saw and believed, but that neither he nor Peter understood the scriptures, that Christ must rise from the dead. And yet, repeatedly, before his betrayal in the garden, he had told them that he would suffer and die and on the third day rise. He does this four times in the Gospel of St. Matthew, three times in Mark, three times in the Gospel of St. Luke. They did not understand the scriptures. And they went away. And they left Mary. And that is where we find her, weeping, standing outside the tomb, by herself, alone, overcome with grief. I know the one thing that we share you and I, living in a fallen world, that grief is not unknown to us. And sometimes tremendous, severe grief, depression, and sadness. So we can see ourselves in Mary. Weeping, finally she looks inside. She beholds the two angels, one at the head, one at the foot. Why are you weeping? If you've been in the throes of depression, weeping is not unusual, even for a burly, strong German heritage man like myself, right? Maybe you don't even know why you're weeping, because the grief is overwhelming. Why are you weeping? Well, there must be something more to the question, because she turns away. Probably because she didn't even know what to say. They have taken my Lord away. She turns around then, and it's Jesus. But she doesn't recognize him. He asks the same. Why are you weeping? But then, echoing the night of his betrayal, he asks her again, whom are you seeking? But overcome with grief and with sadness, this deep depression, she doesn't recognize the Lord. She doesn't recognize the questions. Very likely she didn't even hear the question. Just the concern. The overwhelming sadness in her mind. They have taken away my Lord. Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have taken him. I will take him away. Deep depression can do that, blind us to the things that are right before our eyes. But we also note theologically, though, that it is his word that makes him know. Not our willpower, our strength, not mantras of get up, feel better, do better. None of the things we can do can overcome the crushing weight of the sadness in the world. There is no peace this side of glory outside of the Prince of Peace, who suffered violence that we might have his peace. Most importantly, though, Jesus calls her by name. Mary. He calls her by name because he is the Good Shepherd. He knows your name. And he calls you by that name, for he knows you. He loves you. He knows his own. He calls them by name. He leads them out. And his sheep know his voice. And in that address, her eyes are open. The depression is suddenly, miraculously, turned upside down. Rabboni. And by implication, we know what she does next. She lunges at him, wrapping her arms around him, holding him, probably kissing him, crying on him. A blubbering mess of joy. Yes, cling to Jesus. But he gives her a subtle rebuke. He says, do not cling to me. Why? For I have not yet ascended to my Father. He has not yet ascended to fill all things, to become nearer to us than we may ever know. Something we only behold with the eyes of faith. See, by context, by the word choice, in the language that St. John employs, she is clinging to him in an earthly way, grasping him, holding him, touching him. Are you real? Is this not just a fantasy? Yes, you're real. I can hold you. I can touch you. She's clinging to him out of fear that he may be gone again. That this isn't true. This can't be true. No one rises from the dead. But by his words, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." It's almost an echo of his address to Thomas. Do not cling to me, Mary, for the earthly sense, the physicality of it, that you don't believe. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. It is I. In the same way, he tells Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Touch me physically, know and convince that flesh, but then walk forth in faith. Go. She says, go to my brothers, say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The one who was betrayed, who was abandoned, upon whom the whole chastisement of the world was placed. He's a better man than you or I, because he bears no grudge. In fact, he went to that cross to endure that shame willingly and joyfully for the joy that was set before him. That he could look to Mary and say, my sister, go to my brothers, go to my family, you whom I have purchased and won. I love you. You are mine. Go to them. I am ascending to my Father and your Father. And when he ascends, he shall be closer than we may ever know. And then, yes, we cling. We cling to him and hold fast to him in the places where he has promised to be found. In the word and sacrament ministry of his church. In the word that is studied and read, the word proclaimed, the word preached and spoken, the word joined to the element of the command and the institution of Christ. That he may not just be next to us, but in us, and we in him. And thanks be to God that he calls us by name, that he makes us his brothers, his sisters, children of the Father, and that he comes to us over and over to speak your name, to tear away the sadness and depression of this life, to call you out and bear you home. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.